You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
BFM News.
Kia ora, good afternoon. I'm Adam Jacobson. It's 12 o'clock. Greenpeace New Zealand is taking the fight against Donald Trump to our shores. The organisation is currently preparing for a protest against the Amazon Warrior, a ship owned by Chevron Oil that is searching for oil off the Wairarapa coast. Russell Norman, head of Greenpeace New Zealand, says fossil fuel president Donald Trump is working on behalf of oil companies, some of whom funded his campaign.
He is their representative. His job is to advance the interests, the short-term profits of oil companies. So confronting oil companies anywhere on the planet is opposing Donald Trump's agenda.
This follows a recent executive order by President Trump, which aims to strip back many climate change regulations put in place by the Obama administration. A new study has revealed New Zealand needs specific policy change if it wants to achieve a smoke-free country. The University of Otago research suggests the implementation of smoke-free outdoor policies in urban public spaces is a first step. Lead author of the study, George Thompson, says a smoke-free New Zealand is achievable, but requires more support from the government.
They have done a few things. They've done plain pack. They've done no displays at retail, but they have to get really serious.
Thompson adds to properly reduce the impact of smoking, a reduction in the places of selling cigarettes is required. In international news, all schools in Queensland's southeast corner have been closed due to bad weather caused by former tropical cyclone Debbie. The government said the wild weather meant schools would be closed for the day, with the worst of high winds and very heavy rain expected today. Bureau of Meteorology is warning that large areas of southeast Queensland will experience destructive winds and rainfall in excess of 200 millimetres, with isolated pockets of 400 millimetres possible in some regions. Debbie hit the coast of Queensland as a Category 4 cyclone on Tuesday. The Chinese government says it's detained a Taiwanese activist who was reported missing a week ago. Volunteer for the Taiwan Association for Human Rights, Ling Ming Che, is being held on suspicion of endangering national security amid worsening relations between Beijing and Taipei. Ming Che's detainment is the first of a foreign NGO worker since the government introduced a new controversial law. The law requires groups from outside mainland China to register with police and find a local sponsor. Al Jazeera reports Ming Che has been prevented from meeting with lawyers and is being held at an undisclosed location. And finally, it appears there is an asteroid going the wrong way around the solar system's largest planet. Discovered in 2015, asteroid 2015 BZ509 has been found orbiting Jupiter the wrong way for nearly 1 million years. It is the only known asteroid that shares a planet's orbital space while moving the opposite direction. Jupiter is believed to have around 240,000 asteroids circling it, and that's the news.
Sleet, low-pressure systems, depressions and more in this 95BFM weather update, thanks to ProGear.
The weather forecast for Thursday the 30th of March: partly cloudy with chance of showers, light west to southwesterly winds, a high of 23 degrees and an overnight low of 14 degrees. Sunset today will be at 20 past 7. Your outlook for the rest of the week: Friday, mostly fine and sunny with some high clouds, light winds. Saturday, fine and warm with some clouds, chance of late light showers, north-northeasterly. Sunday, cloud with some drizzle and showers developing, north-northeasterly. Sunday is also the end of daylight saving, so don't forget to put your clocks backwards. That's your news and weather. I'm Adam Jacobson. It is 4 past 12.
Are you wearing the right amount of layers? I hope so. That was a 95BFM weather update. Thanks to ProGear. Unparalleled quality and professional photographics. Online at progear.co.nz.
You're tuned into The Wire. 1 hour of current affairs and analysis starting now.
Tēnā koutou katoa, ko jōgai toku ingoa, no mai haere mai ki te wire mō tēnei rā. Kia ora, welcome to The Wire for Thursday the 30th of March. It's Jōgai here, your host. coming up on the show today. My producer Jess catches up with the Health Minister, Nikki Wagner, to learn more about the government's legislation of e-cigarettes. And we chat to Jacinda Ardern about a new fiscal policy announced this week. BFM reporter Ambrose Omega speaks to Russell Norman to learn more about the Greenpeace protest of the Amazon warrior. And Joel Thomas has a chat to the president of the Tertiary Education Union, Sandra Gray, about the increasing government pressures on tertiary staff. Jason Leopold is also back one last time for our final State of the States. We've got a great show lined up for you. If you have any thoughts throughout it, please get in contact by calling 309 3879 or text in on 5395.
Can anyone explain why the modern day whales are so big?
The Wire.
Yesterday, the government announced the legislation of nicotine e-cigarettes and e-liquid with appropriate controls. The announcement has received a mostly positive response, with many believing that change is a huge step towards helping Kiwis quit smoking and attaining the ultimate goal of a smoke-free New Zealand by 2025. Producer Jess Smith spoke to Health Minister Nikki Wagner this morning to find out more about what the new law involves and what this means for New Zealand.
Well, I suppose the most dominant thing is that there's no tobacco in e-cigarettes. Basically, e-cigarettes is a vaping option. They use a liquid. It has it can or cannot have nicotine in it, but there's no tobacco. And, of course, tobacco is the danger in smoking.
Mm-hmm. And what are the current laws surrounding the sale of e-cigarettes in New Zealand?
At the moment, you can buy an e-cigarette mechanism, and you can buy e-liquid, but you can't buy e-liquid with nicotine in it. So nicotine is the addictive substance, and that's what's not permitted at the moment.
Right, and where are people able to buy e-cigarettes and the liquid?
Well, they tend to buy them in vape stores. That's generally speaking where they are. I don't think there's no legislation about where they can sell, but it's vape stores, generally speaking, or maybe tobacconists, that sort of thing.
Okay. And what is the government changing about these laws?
What we're going to do is we're going to make e-cigarettes as a consumer product legal in New Zealand, and also the e-liquids with nicotine.
Cool. And what will be the new rules surrounding selling e-cigarettes?
They need to be sold in an R18 environment, so it's restricted to sale to people 18 years and over. They need to be in... they have rules around the advertising, so they can advertise in-store, but not outside their stores or on billboards or that sort of thing. There will be some quality rules around it, what kind of e-cigarettes you can bring into New Zealand. And generally these are to keep non-smokers safe. What we want to do is encourage smokers to switch to e-cigarettes because they're significantly less harmful, but we don't want to encourage non-smokers to take them up.
Right, and so will places like dairies and service stations and supermarkets be able to sell e-cigarettes?
They'll be able to be sold besides cigarettes. The idea is we're looking for smokers to switch. So where cigarettes are sold, we're hoping that e-cigarettes will be there as well. And if you go into a dairy, whereas cigarettes have to be behind a locked door, mm-hmm. e-cigarettes can be on the counter, they can be advertised, they're significantly cheaper than tobacco cigarettes, and we're hoping that will really encourage people to make a change.
Yeah, for sure.
Smokers to make a change.
Yeah. And there are concerns of children being kind of overly exposed to point-of-sale displays in places such as dairies and service stations. What do you have to say on this?
Well, the advertising cannot appeal to children. There will be rules around that. It is an R18 product. And so we believe that that will keep children safe. There's no evidence to say that e-cigarettes are attractive to young people. There has been some discussion that they could be a gateway, but there's no evidence to show that.
Yeah. And do you feel that places such as supermarkets and service stations will be able to provide enough information for people wanting to safely switch from smoking to vaping rather than kind of specialised vape stores?
Well, I think vaping is becoming pretty popular. It's been around the world for a long time. In the UK, they've been selling e-cigarettes for 10 years. If people are interested in e-cigarettes, I think there's lots of information available. The key issue for us is to make sure that when you go into somewhere to buy cigarettes, which we know are very harmful for you, you've got the choice of buying something with less harm.
Yeah. And would the government consider subsidising e-cigarette prices to encourage a healthier alternative to smoking?
We have a policy of subsidising products. We call them stop smoking medicines. So they're products that come under the Medicines Act that we know help people give up smoking. Cessation products. At this stage, e-cigarettes don't qualify for that. Somebody would have to apply and go through that process. If they did and they are seen to be able to stop people smoking, such as patches and things like that, they could be part of that. If they were part of that, they qualified, they could be subsidised.
Yeah. And why do you feel easy access to vape products is so important?
Simply because we want to stop people smoking. It's very bad for their health. And if vaping is healthier and easier and cheaper, we'd encourage them to do it.
Yeah, and do you think this is a step towards a smoke-free 2025 for New Zealand?
Absolutely. We have anecdotal evidence from around the country that really hardcore smokers who haven't been able to quit under any circumstances can take up vaping and can get good results.
The French, for instance, love the cock.
You're tuned into The Wire.
That's right, you are tuned into The Wire. Andrew is currently fogbound in Invercargill, so he couldn't make our chat this week, but this is okay because we found a fitting replacement. Here is an interview I did with Jacinda Ardern earlier this morning. There was a joint Labour-Greens fiscal policy announced this week called the Budget Responsibility Rules. Can you explain a bit what these rules entail?
Yeah, it's really a framework just to demonstrate to voters how we would intend to work together on achieving our policy goals, but within a responsible fiscal framework. So just set out a set of guidelines. So to give you an example, we're committed to delivering a sustainable operating surplus across an economic cycle, bringing down net crown debt, prioritising investment in some of our long-term financial and sustainability challenges, like, for instance, restarting contributions to the superannuation fund, and ensuring a progressive taxation system. So really it's giving people an indication of the things we'd prioritise.
Mm-hmm. But do these rules really present any significant deviation from the economic status quo?
Yeah, I would say they absolutely would, particularly when you look at ideas like prioritising investments to address financial and sustainability challenges. That's not something we've seen out of the national government, particularly given 2009. Almost as soon as they came in, they suspended making payments to the New Zealand Super Fund. And the consequence of them postponing investment in that has meant, of course, that they're now looking at alternatives like changing the age of retirement. Also, crown debt under national has been significant. We're making a commitment to bring that down.
Right, but the talk of sustainable surpluses and an approach to government expenditure that seeks to maximise benefits has kind of sparked criticism from within the left wing and a reluctance to deviate from what some might see as this neoliberal economic policy is seeing many Labour and Green Party voters becoming steadily disillusioned. So what do you kind of make of the shift in attitudes?
Yeah, I think that actually this is not a shift for us. But what's important to highlight is that we recognise that while the national government has been trying to obtain a surplus, they've left a deficit in social spending, and that's not what we intend to do. We believe it's absolutely possible to make investment in core crown priorities, like, for instance, core priorities for us, like health. Where we've seen $1.7 billion cut out in real terms. Education, where we've seen frozen funding for schools, which is having a real impact. Even students, for instance, their ability to borrow even living costs has sat at, you know, $170, which isn't even covering their costs. there is a deficit at the moment in terms of social spend. That is not what we are saying will continue. That will absolutely be the reverse under us. We only need to look back at our record. We did deliver 9 budget services, but at the same time, created things like Working for Families, KiwiSaver, interest-free student loans. Ultimately, it's all about priorities. For us, those were the priorities, not things like what National has implemented, like tax cuts. So it's just a different approach.
But fiscal management and debt reduction often go hand in hand with cutting down on social spending. But in order to kind of provide the things that you just mentioned, you know, decent health, education, housing and other public services to the people, you need to make these significant investments, right? So in saying that...
Absolutely. And look, we've looking at this, we've got to, of course, check what the budget looks like when National delivers it this year to see the way the books currently look. But National are, for instance, talking at the moment about having enough of a surplus to deliver tax cuts. Mm-hmm. Our view is that